Voters in New York will head to the polls on Tuesday for congressional primaries. One of the closely watched races is in our region in the 19th District, which includes 11 counties. We now bring you the first of four interviews with candidates for the seat. The competitive seat is open as Republican Chris Gibson is not seeking re-election. Gibson's Kinderhook, Columbia County neighbor John Faso faces Andrew Heaney in the Republican primary, and it has been a bitter race. John Faso, who ran for governor in 2006 against Eliot Spitzer, calls himself a pragmatic conservative who knows how to get things accomplished.
I've set forth a series of proposals that I think are important to address what is the overriding issue in this district, which is the poor economy, the lack of jobs, the high taxes that are driving people away. And I've offered an innovative plan to address what has been a longstanding issue in upstate New York, which is the county property taxpayers having to pay a major portion of the state's share of the Medicaid system. And New York is way out of line with other states in imposing these burdens on county property taxpayers.
The former Republican state assembly leader says he read the federal law that gives the state the ability to require partial payment by local governments for Medicaid costs.
On average, it's about a 42% of the county property tax bill is going to pay for state-mandated Medicaid costs, which in most other states, the property taxpayer is not forced to bear this burden. So I propose that we would, over a five-year period, to give the state the time to reform and adjust its program, but over a five-year period, eliminate the ability of a state to impose these costs on local governments. And what this would mean, it virtually only affects New York State. So it would be a true benefit to our property taxpayers, and it would perhaps slow the tide of people who have to leave this state because of high property taxes. On a larger level, we also need to have a combination of smart tax and regulatory changes, both in Washington and in Albany, so that the business climate improves here. New York is consistently ranked 50th in the nation in terms of business climate. We're the worst state in which to do business. So it's no wonder that the only way the state seems to be able to bring any business into this state is to basically offer tax incentives and other inducements. But the vast majority of taxpayers and businesses never get to benefit from those things. It's only the favored few, and that's something we should change.
On agriculture, he says farmers are facing issues similar to small businesses, the high cost of doing business and taxes. As for whether farm workers in New York should be allowed to unionize, subject of a fierce debate at the moment, Faso has a firm stance.
It's exactly the wrong approach. I mean, how can a farmer who's got to harvest a crop going to deal with a union situation where someone goes on strike just when they need to harvest their crop? Now, agricultural workers should be paid fairly and treated fairly. No one is discounting that. But when you come in with these new burdens, and these new requirements, they're coming from all the folks down in the city, mostly, who are coming up with this saying, this is how you should operate. Well, I have yet to talk to a farmer. I've yet to talk to someone in the agriculture business in upstate New York that thinks this is a good idea.
As for the PFOA water contamination issue in Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County, Faso talks about whether there should be hearings.
There should be hearings. The Congress and the state legislature should perform oversight hearings on this topic because it's important to put on the record what did the agencies know and when did they know it and what was their response. And it's not so much to call people on the carpet, although that certainly could be part of this, certainly. But it's not so much to deal with that. It's to how do we avoid this in the future? What gaps, what fell through the cracks, what kind of regulatory lapses occurred that allowed the state health department, for instance, to know for about a year that there was a problem here before anything was done?
He says it is important to prevent something like this from happening in the future. And here's Faso on the subject of pipeline construction or expansion, whether for natural gas or crude oil.
I think it really depends on the subject. In full disclosure, I previously had some professional relationship with the people who were developing the Constitution pipeline. I think that was a project, frankly, that was bringing natural gas into a portion of the state that severely needed it. They're completely underserved. There's a company down in Sydney called Amphenol, 1,000 manufacturing jobs. they were promised by the state, by the Cuomo administration, that they would get natural gas. But there are other infrastructure proposals that I think have to be looked at differently, and certainly all of these things have to be scrutinized for their impacts. But I don't think you can just per se say no infrastructure project should move forward, as some of the folks on the other side would say. But for instance, the Northeast Direct project, I was not a fan of and was not in favor of, because I thought that there was no benefit to the local communities involved, whereas with Constitution there was.
Politicians of all stripes have been reacting to June's mass shooting in Orlando, where the gunman had been removed from a watch list. Faso weighs in on the efficacy of terror watch lists, not only concerning Omar Mateen, but others. He says it needs to be fully understood why a person is no longer considered a threat and removed from that list.
It's important for people on both sides of this issue to come together to make sure that folks that are on that terrorist watch list are not possibly not given the possibility of purchasing a firearm. At the same time, and here's where the rub is, at the same time, you have to have a due process provision so that someone, a citizen who is wrongly placed on that list, has a means to get themselves off.
On the role of money in politics,
I think that what we need is we need full and complete disclosure of donations. I don't like the secretive nature of some of these 501c4 organizations, which are so-called social welfare organizations, which can raise money without the public knowing who is giving the money. But I think also that public financing of elections is not a reform, and in fact would make it worse. And it would cost the taxpayers well over $1 billion every election cycle if you had public financing of elections. And those other people now want to amend the First Amendment to narrow and give the government more control over political speech. I think that is a mistake. I think the First Amendment has served us well. I think James Madison's handiwork is sufficient, and I believe in full and open political speech. And I think we should all be worried when politicians propose a solution which involves amending the First Amendment. I think that's absolutely the wrong way to go.